We're learning the Maimer with Rabbi Yochanan, Zichron Lavracha. Everything now has a taste of Purim, already, Baruch Hashem. Everything tastes Purimdik. And we have to be mamik in this sugya that we're learning with Purim eyes. We began this Maimer Samaches was a continuation of the last Maimer, Samach Hey, this is a continuation of the last Maimer. Rabbi Yochanan on page Gimel, so I guess that would be, it says Ramach Kulam Tzadikim Samach. On the bottom paragraph, the Tzadik was explaining the Simon of Metzias, which is an emissary Metzias. Real Metzias is that it's loy naidi. It doesn't move, it doesn't change, it doesn't fluctuate, it doesn't. We were talking a lot about that in the context of Purim. Umetzo says, Levavai ne'eman lefanecha. When the heart of a Jew is faithful. Faithfulness is the simon of a person who is living in the malchus of true metzius. Neitzem atoi, Hashem said, I planted you. Neitzem atoi, a strong tree. Unlike a person who's not planted deeply in the world, in his Yiddishkeit. So such a person is kemoitza shetidfenu ruach. He's blown around like the wind blows the wheat. In the last paragraph, we're going to just read a little bit and then we're going to talk more about how it fits into the context of Purim. The last paragraph. And now we can understand the inyan, the maila, the greatness, and the deeper meaning of what menuch is, which is how we started this around 2 years ago, I don't know, a year and a half, something like that, of what menuch is. Menuch, according to the Torah, what's menuch? Hari kol soid olam haba. Hurak Menucha. The whole secret of Olam Haba, what we think about and what we imagine it to be, is we don't know. But we do know that it's Menucha. And how each person understands Menucha, so if you understand Menucha as being like in the most comfortable bed, in the most comfortable place, with everything, so it's Menucha, then it's Chaval to have such a small Hasagi of Menucha. And we've been talking a lot about how that's, of course, not the menucha that I was talking about, but when a person learns the sugi that we've been learning, what is the meaning of menucha? Hare kol soid al mahabu hurak menucha. Neitzim atoah. To know who you are, which we're going to be learning a lot, Mr. Shem, a very special, amazing thing. Soon we're going to start. When a person knows who he is, who she is, neitzim atoah, this is who I am, planted. And I am who I am. Natua umushvash betachlis. Natua planted umushvash, the roots are deep, betachlis. Bilti naid. I'm not changed or affected by everything that comes my way. But I'm Shabbos, whom I ain't olam haba. Ikra yisaydu ha-menucha. Of course, I touched upon this a little bit last year. To do this properly would be going completely into Shabbos. Obviously, Shabbos, which is Me'ein Olam Haba, Shabbos is a taste of Olam Haba, and Shabbos is Yom Shekulo, Shabbos U'menucha L'chai Olam. Shabbos in our lives now is a taste of the menucha of what's going to be in the world to come. A Jew who lives with Shabbos in this world is able to have a little bit of a taste of what Shabbos is going to be, of what the world is going to be like after this world. Because Shabbos is that time when the person looks at himself and is able to see b'emes who he is. That's the Iki side of Shabbos is Menucha. It's called Yom Menucha. It defines the day. Shabbos is Yom Menucha. The Lira's Indian Hamanucha had Nidris the Shabbos Kodesh, Mashano Aimer Menuchas Ahava Unadova. Menuchas Ahava Unadova. A rest, a peace, a tranquility of Ahava, of love, and a dove of giving. Ahava. All of that, Rav Yucham says, Hine Ahava Sabriyas Yoitzis Malas Hamanucha. So right now we're trying to understand. What does loving other people have to do with menucha? Menucha is ahava unedava. That means that through Shabbos, remember the yisoid of Shabbos is menucha. Through menucha's Shabbos, a person is able to experience ahava, love of other people, love of family, love of the Rebbeinu Shalom. What's the connection between menucha and ahava? We're going to talk about this a lot. Menucha and Ahava. Because the key to being able to love the Rebbeinu Shalom and to love each other, the key to that is Menucha. And in this, Menucha Sanefesh, and in this world, Shabbos is the Yom Menucha. So Shabbos is the Mafter that brings us into that world of Ahava, of love. We have to talk a lot about that. Here, Rav Yochum talks about it a little bit. And he explains, Ahava Sabriyas Yoitzes Malas HaMenucha. Ahava Sabriyas, love of others, comes from Menucha. Nadava Maitzah Menucha, generosity and giving, comes from Menucha. Bli Menucha, Eefsha Liyas Ahava Sabriyas. Without Menucha, without being set in who you are, without being in touch with the deeper Kaychas HaNefesh that you have, you can't really experience EF Shalias Nadova, there can't be Ahava, there can't be Nadova, Bishum Aifen. Just the opposite. Me Imenucha, Yoitse Sinas Habriyas. Due to the lack of Menucha, there comes hatred of other people. Menuchas Emes Ve'emuna. Next page. Shabbos is Menuchas Emes Ve'emuna. Shabbos. It's Menuchas Emes. It's a Menucha that we never knew that Menucha has so many things going on. Menuchas Emes Femuna, truth and faith. Emes Femuna. He misoid ha Menucha Emes. Emes means it's the truth. It's the truth. It doesn't change according to feelings, moods, opinions. Emes Femuna. Emuna is Nemon, is faithfulness. Me asoid Shaloi Nayid. From that secret that the Rabbi Yochum is talking about, this whole maimer of Lo Nayid, something that doesn't drift, it doesn't move, it doesn't change. Ha'hepach mishekher ein l'raglayim. You see, if your feelings towards another Jew depends on what he says to you or doesn't say to you, depends upon whether you're in a good mood or you're in a bad mood. You understand that the ahava, your love for that person, is completely totally subject to the changing factors in the relationship. So if the person is nice to you, or the person is nice to you, so then you feel, oh, I have an ahava for this person. Then I love this person. And if Khalil, the person, isn't nice to you, so oh, then the ahava goes down. Then the next day they call up and they say, I'm really sorry, I wasn't so nice to you. The next day, oh, then the ahava goes up again. It's like a stock. It goes like this, up and down, up and down. How you feel about a person. Because why is the ahava misnat dades? Why is the ahava fluctuating like something on a graph in school? Why is the ahava fluctuating like that? Why is it nayid? Why is it that the ahava isn't steady? Even if the person gives you a bad look, or the person forgets to invite you to the thing, or the person... What is it that all of a sudden you are sure that you love the person? And now the ahava is down. And the next day there's something different and the ahava goes up again. What is with that ahava moving like that? What's it like in the old cartoon of a kid, she loves me, not, she loves me, not. The person lives like that his whole life. Back and forth. I do love, I don't love, I do love, I don't love. Same thing with the Baruch Shalom. I do love him, I don't love him, I like him, I don't. I'm having problems with him, it'll be better tomorrow. Yesterday was not so good, tomorrow will be good. And back and forth. It's night, it's mamash shaking and moving. It's because we don't have menucha. When a person's ahava of another Jew, which we're going to talk a lot about, when the ahava is an ahava that comes from that place of who be'emes we are, from the anisha ba'ani, from the etzim, what we were talking last week, from that place of malchus, we're going to talk about in a minute more, much more. When it comes from that place, that's emes, inside, that's ne'eman, that's faithful, so even if that person doesn't smile at you that day, even if the person says something not so nice, it doesn't change the mitzvahs that this is another Jew, and I'm able to love this person, even though the conditions of our relationship have changed. It's a very hard thing. And we have to learn how to come to that, to reach such a madrega. And this is very deeply connected to Shabbos Kodesh. Soid Menucha Kazu, right, Savaiti says, Ki Sheker Harei Naiv HaYoyse Godel. Sheker Ein LaRaglayim. We learned this last week. Sheker, falsehood, doesn't have anything to stand on. Ki Sheker Harei Naiv HaYoyse Godel. Something which is not real, something which is false, it's not real. It doesn't have anything to stand on. It collapses. When something changes, when something's different, if it's not true, if it's not real, it collapses. Menucha Shalom v'shalva hashket v'vetach menucha shleim v'shat heroitzeva. This is the soid of Menucha Kazusha Shalom v'shalva hashket v'vetach nidris l'shabbos kodesh. For this a person needs Shabbos kodesh. Now before we go further, and finish the mind, because really the tzaddik then goes more into the inyan of Shabbos, and we have to spend special time just on Shabbos. We're going to, at the end of all of this, in Mitzvah Hashem, where we'll be a little bit older and have many more simchas by then, that we'll talk Shabbos. We could talk with maybe till Mashiach comes about Shabbos, this inyan about Shabbos. You all heard of the Sefer Kuzri, right? Kuzri is a very, very basic Sefer that everybody must learn. It's one of those Svarim that without learning it, that you're missing a big part of what it means to be a Jew. And Kuzri, from Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, in the third Maimer, early on in the third Maimer, I'm sure you know the setting of that amazing Sefer that Rabbi Yehuda Halevi wrote, as an imaginary discussion between the famous king of the Khazars, the king of the Kuzrin. There was a whole kingdom that converted to Yiddishkeit, that became Jews. It's a whole story, background, it's not important for now. And Rabbi Yehuda Levi set up the sefer in such a way that the king of the Khazars was coming to talk, to speak to a chaver, to a Talmud Chacham. That's going to be Rabbi Yehuda Levi, of course, with questions about Yiddishkeit. He first went to a philosopher, to a Muslim, to a Christian, and he wasn't even going to go to speak to a Jew because the Jews are so despised and hated and everybody knows that they're wrong. And then how it happened, he came to a Yid, and he came to this Chavir, to the Talmud Chacham. And the king was a brilliant person, and he had many questions for the Chacham. And the Chacham is Rabbi Yehuda Levi. He wrote the Sefer in such a way, as a dialogue between the king of the Kuzrin and the Chavir, which is of course himself. In the Kuzri, the king asked the Chavir, he asked the Chacham, to describe to me the demus, the image of the Chassid. By the Jews, what does it mean to be a righteous person? Who's the Chassid? Who's a holy person by the Jews? Tell me, what's a chassid? And it was, of course, this is a long time before the Baal Shem Tov and Chassidus, right? So he's talking about a chassid, I mean, a righteous Jew. What does it mean? Who do you people, how do you describe the dmus, the image of such a person? So the Rabbi Yehuda Halevi said such an interesting thing. The Chavir, the Chacham, said a whole description, he answered the question with the description of a ruler over a country, a king. And the Kuzri says, the king says, Al Chosid Sha'alticha, Loy Al Moshe. I asked you about a Chosid, not about a ruler. I asked you about a Chosid. So the Chavar answers, Ha Chosid, listen carefully. We'll come to Purim at the end. But this is everything we're learning about is this. And I was chasing over something in the Kuzri and had a spiralist I wanted to share with you. I don't even know if I could do it because I didn't really work it out properly. So if it's not clear, then it's because I haven't worked it out. This was a last entry before candle lighting, mamish. So it's not yet clear. But I wanted to share with you, and I hope you'll forgive me if it's not clear. Ha chasid hu mishu hu maisha. The little lady says like this. He asked me, what's a chasid by us? Every religion has its holy people. You want to know who's our holy person? He says, and then you're surprised because I told you about a ruler. Hachosid humi shehu maishal. By us, the chosid is a person who rules. Nishma bechushav v'kechosav ha-nachshiyim v'ha-gufiyim. The chosid, Rabbi Yehuda Levi says, is a person who rules over his eyes. Listen to the Malchus of the Maishal by Jews. By the Goyim, this is what the, you understand, Yehuda Levi is giving a shtach, that by the Goyim, we know what a big Maishal is your majesty. How many people? 50,000, 100,000, a million people? It's a big Malchus. It's a big Malchus. By us, I'll tell you what it means, a Malchus. The Chassid is a person who's a Maishal, he's a king. He's a king over his eyes. He's a king over his ears. All of his chushim, Rabbi Levi, I don't have time to read all of his senses, all of the evarim of his body, all of the limbs and organs. Listen to the master, to the marshal. Who's the marshal? The seichel. The mind. The seichel. And they are under the control, the sovereignty of the seichel. And then he says, "V'hu muchan l'memshala." And by the way, the chassid is a person who is most fit and most prepared and worthy to rule over a nation as well. A person who rules over his senses, his eyes, his ears, his mouth, and rules over the organs of his body, his limbs and his organs, "V'hu muchan l'memshala." He's the best candidate to rule over a country. Ki ilu haya marshal b'mendina, because if he would rule over, if the chassid would rule over a medina, over a land, a country, haya noyeg ba b'tzedek, he would treat that country, that nation, he would deal with it in a righteous and correct way. Kasha nohag b'gufay v'nafsha. The same way that he acts towards his body and his soul. That's how he would treat the subjects of his kingdom. The way he treats the subjects of his own private personal kingdom, meaning his limbs, his organs, his nefesh and his guf, the chassid would be the best moshel, the best melech. He would treat the nation the way that he treats him, the way that he treats the little mouthless that he has in his own life. And the Chavir of Yehuda Levi goes on and describes the Malchus of Seichel. We're talking about Metzias. Remember, we're talking about Metzias and how to overcome the dimion, the delusion of Heder on Metzias. For those who have been with us the most, I see everybody pretty much from before, to overcome that dimion, the delusion of the Heder HaMetzius, of that which is not Metzius, but it looks like Metzius. So Yehuda Levi explains that the Chassid Marshal, the Chassid / King, he doesn't starve his body. But he also doesn't indulge the body with food. He gives the body what it needs. He gives the body what it needs. Most bodies don't need to be right now in pizza shops and in other such joints after a nice Shabbos, right? Don't need it. Don't need it. I'm talking to the item that's not there. Right? Don't need it. He says he's not ma'ariv as gufay. Maybe he doesn't starve the body. He treats it with seichel. The body needs to be taken care of with seichel, and therefore the body is given what it needs. It's not hefker. Doesn't indulge. Doesn't go crazy. But he gives it what it needs, what it's missing. The way that seichel hayosher is mechayv. The way that seichel makes sense. Seichel. What the body needs. Same thing with midas. I'm not going to read this, no time. Same thing with midas. Rabbi Leiva says, he doesn't walk around the world silent like a dummy, that he doesn't talk. Doesn't walk around without talking. And he doesn't make himself numb to emotions. He expresses emotions. He says what he needs to say. But he weighs his words with his seichel. He's a person that feels emotions deeply, but he doesn't let the emotions control him. He's shoylate over his emotions. He rules over his emotions with seichel hayosha. Venosan lechushim chelkom b'meshem oil. He gives the senses what they need and what is good for them. That's what he gives his eyes, his ears, his mouth. What they need and what is good for them. Therefore, in describing the chassid, Moshe, chassid/king, the chassid/king, Rabbi Levi says, loves to go occasionally on a stroll through a beautiful garden so that the eyes should receive the beauty and enjoy the beauty of Hashem's world. And the chassid/Moshe will enjoy to see something in God's world and appreciate it. Not to sit locked up in a cave, not to look at the world. All of his limbs and organs and senses are servants to the need of the seichel, of the mind. Not the opposite. Therefore, none of his chushim pull him away from his tachlis. They serve the purpose of his tachlis, which is kivus alakim. As Rabbi Levi says, devekis to Hashem. Everything in his life, his panos, we spoke about it a little bit this morning, doesn't take him away from the Rabbanu Shalom. The world doesn't take him away. What he eats, what he sees, what he listens to, what he does. That's the life of the Moshel, of the chassid Moshel. And therefore, Rabbi Levi says, it's clear that such a person would know exactly what to do with the kingdom that he rules over, the same way he knows what to do with his body and his life. So the chassid, according to Rabbi Levi, is the person who has destroyed the malchus of Amalek, who has destroyed in his life the malchus of Einemetzius, the malchus of delusion, of imagination, the malchus of taivus, of desires that are destructive, the malchus of the body and of this world. And he has become a member, or the king himself, of malchus aseichel, which is the malchus of Metzius. The malchus of Metzius. Now you know, Esther Malka had to appear before the king. And it says, Vayi b'yom ha'shlishi. It was on the third day that Tilbash Esther Malchus. It's a very hard pasuk. That Tilbash Esther Malchus, Esther enclothed herself in Malchus. So the Gemara Megillah asks, what does that mean, to put on Malchus? You could put on the garments of Malchus. The Gemara asks, Bidde Malchus mi boyle. Bigde Malchus Miboyaloi. What do you mean by Tilbash Esther Malchus? Wait, you could buy that in Saks Fifth Avenue, something called Malchus. You want to say she put on the royal garments because she wanted to make a nice appearance, so then you would say Vatilbash the Gemara, Vatilbash, it should say Vatilbash Esther Bigde Malchus. That Esther Malchus put on the clothing of Malchus. Bigde Malchus Miboyaloi. The Gemara asked this question. So, you know what the Gemara's answer is? The Gemara says a half of the thing. Ella, shalob shesa ruach hakaydesh. She enclosed herself in ruach hakaydesh, in the Holy Spirit. Our Holy Spirit doesn't sound Jewish. I think ruach hakaydesh will be fine for us. She enclosed herself in ruach hakaydesh. Lob shesa ruach hakaydesh. But tilbish esther malchus. Lob shesa ruach hakaydesh. Malchus, Ruach HaKodesh, what is that? Now you know we have a very, very important sefer that we all, it's another sefer that if we don't learn it, I mean, we have to do a lot of learning, and that's what we're here for. That if we don't learn it, then we're missing also what it means to be a Jew, Mesil Sasharim. And anybody who's ever learned Mesil Sasharim knows that Mesil Sasharim, the Ramchal built according to the Braisa of Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair. And that means that there's a ladder of madrigas of going from one level to the next level to the next level until finally a person is able to come to the highest, which is what? Ruach HaKodesh. That a Jew could come to a madriga of Ruach HaKodesh. And the Ramchal goes through all of the different shlavim and explains each of the stages that are necessary. We're not going to go into them, of course. That's the whole Mesil Sasharim. But the latter is familiar to many of you who have learned Mesil Sasharim. Zahirus and Zrizus and Nikias and Precious and Tahara and Chesidus and Anov and Yerashchait to Kedusha. And then finally, after all of that, Ruach HaKodesh. That's the latter. Unlike many other programs, especially you have now in America, you have somebody that you ask him, how's it going with college? He says, oh, I graduated. I thought you just started a month ago. I did. So how did you graduate? Oh, you know, I have a million yeshiva, I have, and this, you know, what happened? There's a program, all the guys go to this program. Where's the program? You have to cross a moat like in a canoe. And then when you get to the other side, there's not really a building there, there's a computer, and you know, it's one of these things, and somehow after 6 months you have 128 credits. So you know, you could, nowadays it's not such a chiddush. You have a degree in what? A degree in psychology. So you already took all the, you went to all the different madrigas, psychology, basic, this, that, abnormal, this, that. No, I crossed over the boat every second Wednesday night with a couple of guys from yeshiva, and we also had time to stop off at a Milchig's restaurant, and we read at a half hour at the Fleischig's restaurant. And we went, and I got a degree like that in a month, a degree. And you could do it too. You could do it too. You pay, you just send a check to this place, and you can get a degree. So you understand. But to reach Ruach HaKodesh, there's no online program for Ruach HaKodesh. I know they have like for Smicha now online, and they have for other things you could do online, but Ruach HaKodesh, that's not online, Ruach HaKodesh. So these are the madrigas of Ruach HaKodesh. To come to Ruach HaKodesh, Zahira, Zviz, Nakiyas, Precious, Tahara, Chsidis, Sanov, Yerushchei, Kedusha, Ruach HaKodesh. And Chazal tell us, I was thinking about this, Esther Hamalka prepared to go in to ask for her people. She prepared, Lobshesur, she enclosed herself with the Madrega of Ruach HaKodesh. That means, not only did Esther Hamalka learn Mesil Sasharim, not only did she know Mesil Sasharim, she lived it. That means that Esther Hamalka, Vatilbash Esther Malchus, it means that Esther Hamalka had gone through all of those levels, those madrigas. She went up the sulam, the ladder of the Ramchal, which is the ladder of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair, which is the metzias of all worlds, to come to the highest madriga of Ruach HaKodesh, and it's about Tilbush Esther Malchus. So we're talking about a murdic madriga of Ruach HaKodesh. And what's it called when you get to the end? What's it called when you reach the highest madrega? It's called Ruach HaKodesh, but what does it say in Megillah about Tilbash Esther? Malchus. Malchus equals Ruach HaKodesh. But Tilbash Esther Malchus, the Gemara says, Lovshisa Ruach HaKodesh. So what's the Gemara telling us? The Gemara is telling us what Rabbi Yehuda Levi was saying, is that Malchus means the person who rules over himself. Because Zehirus and Zrizus and Nikias and Precious and Anova and Yerushchet and Kedusha, those, it's all avoided, that doesn't involve any other people, it involves you yourself. And how you relate to the world and how you relate to your tayrus, how do you eat, how do you sleep, how do you drink, how do you talk to people. It's the whole Sefer Mesil Zeshorah. And the highest level is what Ruach HaKodesh. The Gemara says that's what it means. That Tilbash Esther Malchus loves to serve Ruach HaKodesh. That means that she reached that complete. Did she reach that highest point that Yehuda Levi was talking about of the Moishel, the Chassid Moishel, of the Chassid / King and ruler? Malchus is the highest madrega, because Malchus means that she was in complete control of all of the koiches hanefesh. She was in complete control of her eyes, her ears, her heart, her emotions, her limbs, her organs. And when a person comes to that madrega of Malchus, then ding, he hits that thing that's called Ruach HaKodesh. Malchus, Ruach HaKodesh. Understanding this, that Malchus by us, by Jews, means Malchus means ruling over yourself. If you rule over yourself, you know how to deal with other people too. If you rule over yourself, if there's a Malchus, an emissary of Malchus in your life, in who you are, if there's a Malchus inside of yourself, and you live in that world of the self and of that Metzius, so then any other your dealings and your connections to everybody and everything in the world is the Fidat Malchus. This brings us back to what we were talking about already. It must be 2 months ago. That amazing sentence, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter began. Ha'adam chavshi b'nibyaynoi v'asur b'muskalam. Many of you remember that man is liberated by his imagination. Remember? Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, man is freed by his imagination, and he's imprisoned by his seichel. And he goes on afterwards, Hadimyon Nachal Shotev. He spoke a lot about that. The imagination is like a river that rushes. That means that when a person is ruled by the Koyach Hadimyon, by imagination, by Eina Metzius, when that's what rules his life, he has a terrific feeling of freedom. He feels great, as we spoke a lot about, because he can do whatever he likes, as long as he can afford it. He can do whatever he likes. He feels like eating this, he eats this. He feels like going after this tayyib, he goes after this tayyib. He feels like getting married, I get married. He feels like getting divorced, I get divorced. He feels like having a girlfriend, he gets a girlfriend. He gets a boyfriend, he gets a boyfriend. He feels like doing whatever is Eila al-Ruchai. And that is an extraordinarily liberating feeling. That's a liberating feeling. When the Dimyon, when Eina Metzius rules over a person's life, the Koyach HaDimyon is not meshabed a person, does not enslave a person to Metzius at all. Because Metzius, reality, has limitations. Listen carefully. Reality has boundaries, it has borders. You might feel like saying to a good friend of yours, you know something, I don't like you anymore. I don't like you anymore. And the guy says, well, how could you say such a thing? We know each other for 50 years and you said that. How could you say that? So your answer is, I feel like saying that. Because that's what I feel. I feel like I don't like you. So I'm just being honest. and I'm sharing the truth with you, since you're an old friend of mine, that I don't like you. It's Olai Rucha. It's an amazing thing. There's no boundaries. There's no borders. You can do whatever you feel like. You can say whatever you feel like. But Mitzvah, because it's not Mitzvahs. And in Mitzvahs, there are no walls. In Ein Mitzvahs, rather, in the unreal, imaginary world, everything is wide open. Just like you could turn on the television nowadays, and you can look at the screen, and there are a million things that are happening on the screen that could never ever happen in the real world. Because the television is not real, and therefore it has, like it could have people popping in and popping out, popping in and popping out. I don't know how the children don't go totally out of their minds nowadays. I'm sure none of the adults would watch. But the children, how they don't go out of their minds looking at it. Things are changing on every single second, changing. We used to have a hard time when if you had to watch a movie that had subtitles in it, you know, you got a headache from it, because there's some Chinese or Japanese monster movie, and you try to read in English. You try to read in English, what does it say? What's he saying? What's he saying? And you read it in the English, you know, and it says, I'm going to cut your head off now. And he says, don't, please don't. And you're reading, trying to read in the English. Now, forget it. These kids, and then when they play those machines, it's a million images coming and going. Because in Ein Mitzvahs, there are no borders. In Ein Mitzvahs, there's no limit. There are no limits, only with technology, whatever technology can provide you with. There are no limitations. There are no limitations. So it's a world that's like that. So when we were growing up, so that show Star Trek came on, it was a very popular show. So you're in the spaceship, and then they have to be on the planet, and the guy tells the other guy, "Why don't you press the button over there?" He presses the button, he goes, and then they get him, and then they're on the planet. And I remember thinking, that's a great thing. That's a great thing to do that. It's not why. That's not Mitzvahs. So in the world that's not Mitzvahs, that's why science fiction, all this very, 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 very popular. Many more people are reading fiction than are reading fact. And there are studies that have been made about this. There are many fiction, science fiction, demyainis. Because, why? Because it doesn't limit. You're free. You could go from the spaceship to the planet, you're not happy on the planet, then you go back to the spaceship. It's a mechayim. You can come and you can go and you can do whatever you want. So you can tell your friend, I don't like you, I'm not interested in you anymore. But in the world of Mitzvahs, there's something that's called politeness. Being polite. There's something that's called being faithful to an old friend, even if you're not feeling so good about him right now. There are certain things in the world that limit and that hold in and that control. So when Rabbi Saul Salanter was saying, Dinyan, imagination, is liberating. It frees you. It means it lets you loose in the Ein Mitzvahs, in the twilight zone, once I'm already talking about the old shows, in the twilight zone of Ein Mitzvahs, of Hedda Mitzvahs. And in that world of Hedda Mitzvahs, everything goes. In the Mitzvahs of Hedda, of Ein Mitzvahs, everything goes. You're free. Now what does Seichel do? Is what Rabbi Salanter was saying. Seichel is not so popular, especially nowadays. Seichel is not popular. There's no big magazines that are selling like that, you know, for Seichel. Seichel is not popular. What does Seichel do? Seichel comes along, and Seichel rules over your eyes and says to your eyes, hey, what are you doing? Don't look over there. So one second, yesterday I belonged to the Malchus of imagination, and imagination said, you're free to look anywhere. And now the Seichel says to you, you can't look over there, you better not look there, you're a married man, what do you think you're looking at? No one's going to know, Seichel. Yeah, you're faithful, you have a wife, you have children, what's the matter with you? Where are your eyes going? What are you looking at? So that's hard to hear. The Seichel imprisons you. The Seichel makes borders. The Seichel makes boundaries in a person's life, in the Malchus of Seichel. And therefore, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter describes that as oisa, that it imprisons and it locks up the evarim of how much you eat. So you're about to put that, you know, the next piece of pastrami, you know, pastrami with onions and onion rings wrapped up in a coating of french fries and cow's grease and everything, all you're about to put the next thing in your mouth, and the mitzias of who you are says, the seichel says, I think you've had enough. You should stop here. In other words, it says, wall, boundary, border, and the dimyan says, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen because I met somebody from Russia who's 109 years old, and he told me his whole life he was eating pastrami like this. Nothing's going to happen. And not only that, I feel like eating this. Then the seichel comes and says, don't eat it, and you're going to eat it, you're going to have aggravation later on. You're not going to have to wait a long time. You're going to have aggravation. Tonight you're going to have aggravation. It's going to bug you. It's going to hurt you. Tonight. And the dimyan says, I'll worry about that when that comes. Right now, I don't want to hear anything about walls and boundaries and restrictions. I don't want restrictions. The seichel restricts. The seichel binds. The seichel restricts. The malchus of seichel of metzias, because metzias has limits. There are limitations in metzias. There are places you can't go. There are things you can't do. Ain't a metzias. In the world of heaven, metzias, it's beam me up and beam me down and take me here and do this and do that, whatever you want. Now, listen carefully, because this really needed another half hour or so. It's only 15 minutes, so fast forward. If a person wants to test himself, to find out, which malchus do I live in? Am I a member, am I a subject in the malchus of the seichel? Or am I a subject in the malchus of dimyonis, of enemetzias? We want to find out for ourselves. Which malchus do I belong in? Which malchus not do I belong in? Which malchus am I part of? So don't just say no. You could say, well, I could figure it out on my own. No. Because we already know. We already know that the dimyan will make all kinds of, you'll imagine all kinds of things that will make yourself feel good and look good. Forget it, we're not going to use the dimyanis. We have to use seichel, right? To figure out, where do we belong? Who do we vote for in the coming elections? And where do we belong? Where are we? Who are we? What's the test? The Bali Musa say, listen, this is a little bit hard and new, and so I needed more time for it. I'm going to continue next time. Start. The test to find out who you are, the emes, you want to find out who you really are? Are you part of the malchus of seichel, of metzias? Do you live in the real world? Or are you a member of the malchus of heder hametzias, of the non-existent malchus of dimyonis? The test takes place on Purim. Purim is the test. Shabbos Purim. Omer Rava. Chai v'nishlev sumi v'puri adal yodib an arham l'baruch manachai. That a person on Purim comes to a place where he can no longer tell the difference between cursed his Haman and blessed his mother. In Pnimius, I'm talking here Torahs from Rabbi Yochanan. Torahs from Rabbi Yochanan, Pnimius. We have two people, Reuven and Shimon. Right? We have two Jews, and they both look like very, very fine Jews. Reuven and Shimon. And they daven and learn, they do mitzvahs, they're good guys. Reuven and Shimon. And on the surface, Reuven and Shimon pretty much look the same. I mean, in terms of how they live and how they act, just like all of us pretty much look. We look the same, we keep Shabbos, we keep mitzvahs, we try to look the same. This one works like at this job, this one works at another job, this one takes care of children, this one takes care of it. So on the surface, Reuven and Shimon both look like fine, nice Jews. The emes, the truth is, that one of them, ein taychai kevara, meaning that one of them is not really how he looks. It's not really he looks a certain way, and when he walks on the street, he comes to shul, shalom aleichem, Reb Reuven, shalom aleichem, aleichem shalom, Reb Reuven. But he's ein taychai kevara. In other words, He keeps mitzvahs, he davens, he does all. But ein teich kevaro, the teich, the inside, is not the same as the outside. We're not talking about a phony or a faker or a liar. It's just that it's not what it appears to be. Ein teich kevaro. Meaning, on the outside, he looks like Baruch Mordechai. Not a Jew by the name of Baruch Mordechai, but he looks like blessed is Mordechai. Puts on tefillin as a father, he's a nice guy. On the outside, Baruch Mordechai. Now the way it's supposed to be, is that just like on the outside is a Baruch Mordechai, it's supposed to be a Baruch Mordechai on the inside, right? It's supposed to be Baruch Mordechai. Altogether, outside and inside should be Baruch Mordechai, HaYehudi. It's supposed to be a Yid on the outside, and the Baruch Mordechai should be on the inside. Taichai Kevara. But the emes is that we have a funny thing in this person's life. In this person's life we have a Baruch Mordechai on the outside, and inside there's a funny little Araham, right? Is Baruch Mordechai on the outside? Is an Araham on the inside? The other Yid is a Baruch Mordechai on the outside, is a Baruch Mordechai on the inside. But the second one is Baruch Mordechai outside, and inside he's Araham. So Yucham comes along and says the following. Rabbi Yochum says, forget about two people. Let's take you, one person. Listen carefully, it's an egel and a kuda. Let's cut this down from two people to one person. Us, me and you, each one of us. Rabbi Yochum says, Kasha seichel v'das poyelim boy. When seichel and das, when a person is in a place of thinking, when he's in his conscious, rational mind and way of thinking, then a person can be mavchin, then he's able to, what? To make a distinction, to tell the difference between something that he's doing that on the outside looks like it's fine and it's perfect and it's good. It's Baruch Mordechai. But that inside he knows full well that even though he's standing there and he's shuckling and he's saying, and everybody's looking at him and saying, oh, Baruch Mordechai, Baruch Mordechai, this guy's a Baruch Mordechai Jew. Now when he's rational, he has a seichel, like if you come over to the guy and he's in his rational mind and he's seicheldik and you'd ask him, how to talk to him, he can't talk, but let's say you could ask him and you'd say, listen, inside of you, is there an ashray going on right now? Yeah, come on. Just level with me. Because right now, the way you're saying it, very loud, with your eyes closed, and you're moving a lot. What kind of, is that outside Baruch Mordechai? Is that Baruch Mordechai inside? Is that going on inside of you, Baruch Mordechai? So, when he has his seichel, he'll give a krech and say, I'll tell you the truth. My Baruch Mordechai on the outside is Baruch Mordechai. I scream, I yell, I shuckle, and my eyes are closed. But inside, I have to tell you, inside, I was thinking about my pastrami sandwich from yesterday. I'll tell you the truth, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't thinking about God, I wasn't thinking about dwelling in this house forever. I don't even know what that means. I don't even know what ashray means. And I certainly wasn't thinking about dwelling in this house forever. I was thinking about what's the next pastrami sandwich I could have, because yesterday's was good and I'm going to go dwell in some restaurant forever. So on the outside, I'm a big Baruch Mordechai. On the inside, I got to tell you the truth. Because I'm a friend of yours, I'm telling you the truth. Inside, I'm an Araham. I'm cursed as Haman. That's my inside. Right now, I'm an Araham. That's when the person has his seich. And then we could take the opposite thing. Sometimes you could have a Yid that's sitting quietly, and on the outside you don't see this much. It looks like maybe he's just a little bit sad. He's to himself, right? And you look at him and you say, he's a Nebuch, he's an Arahaman. What is that? But inside of himself, he's thinking about how I need to do children. About how I wasn't so nice to my kid this morning. I yelled at him, I yelled at her. I got to spend a little bit more time with my husband, or my wife, or my friend. So here we have a funny thing. Also with Seichel, you would ask him, so you would say, I got to tell you the truth. On the outside, you look like an Arahaman. He says, no, on the outside, I know I look like an Arahaman. But inside of me, my heart's on fire. I want to be a better Jew. I want to be a better father. I want to be a better mother. I want to be a better husband or wife. inside me. So Rabbi Yochum says, when a person's seichel is strong and it's working and it's healthy and it's functioning, he's able to know the difference between Arham and Baruch Mordechai, between Baruch Mordechai and Arham, and in himself. He's able to know that the way I look to the outside is not really how I feel and who I am. He's able to understand that. And if someone would ask him, he'd be honest, he would say that that's the truth. But that's every day of the year except Purim. Because on Purim there's a Moedic thing that happens. Purim is the test, remember, to find out who you really are. So what happens on Purim, Rabbi Yochum explains, is that on Purim the Baruch Shalom wants a Jew to come to a madrega. We're not talking about how to do that and the drinking, that's not important for now. But he wants a person to come to a madrega ad de lo yada, till he's irrational, till he doesn't have his wits about him. Right? It's a scary thing. The Torah never ever wants such a thing. It's the most dangerous thing in the world for a person to be without seichel. It's the most dangerous thing in the world for a person to be without das. And now we're wondering, we're asking you, Rabbi Yerucham Rebbe, what are you talking about? What do you mean? You're telling us that the way to find out if we belong to the Malchus of Seichel, if we're part of Esther Malchus' world, of Seichel, of Malchus over ourselves, when do we find out about that? Dafka which day? When we let go of Seichel. When there's no Seichel. It's Adalayada. You know why? Because listen to this. This is going to be hard for the yeshiva boys who are still, or the young at heart, right? You know, Rabbi Yochum was a real attack. And he said it straight. Rabbi Yochum said, we'll see how you behave on Purim when you have no seichel. Ad lo yada ben orham lo baruch mordechai. You see, during the year, you're able to understand that there's a disconnect, there's a discrepancy between how I look and how I feel. In other words, how do I appear to the world and how am I really be'emes inside of myself? That's the whole year. And the whole year, a person can live in that place where the outside can look good and the inside's not good. Or the outside can look bad and the inside is good. The whole year, a person can live like that. Because why? Because he has seichel. And his seichel knows to keep the show going. To keep the show going. So I'm going to act like a nice, firm, proper person, but inside of myself I'm not. Or I'm going to act like a person that's not so firm, but inside of myself I am. And you could do that the whole year, because you remember the script, because you have your seichel. When you have your seichel, you remember the script. And you keep the script, you stick to the script when you have your seichel. But then there's one day of the year where they take the script away from you. And that day is Purim. And therefore, Rabbi Yochum says, Purim is higher than Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is Yom Kippur, you know why? Because he says, Yom Kippur, it's after the whole Elul. It's after the whole Elul. It's after Rosh Hashanah. It says, Yimei Tshuva. He says, it comes to Yom Kippur today where there's no achil, there's no eating, there's no drinking, there's no physical involvement. Mela, there's no kinna, there's no sinna, there's no taivas. It's a day, Yom Kippur is a day that's perfectly clean, the seichel is washed and clean, and a person is in such a madrega of Yom Kippur, but the Arizal taught us and the Tikkunim teach us that Yom Kippur is only Ke'ein, it's Yom Kippur, and Purim is higher than Yom Kippur. Why? Yom Kippur is a day when I know, it's the highest day of Das, it's the day that I know the truth, it's the day that I cry and I say, Rabbi Yisrael, look at me, klimale busha klima, I look to the whole world, look at Tzaddik and I know I'm nothing. I know that the world thinks I'm a Baruch Mordechai, I'm an Arahaman inside of me. So Yom Kippur is a Heilig Gittal, when a person has Seichel. When you say Hashem Elokim, if the Elul of Rosh Hashanah is made Shuvi, you come to Hashem Elokim, means my Seichel is telling, finally I've come to the truth. Chatosi Avisi Poshati, I'm not the person I look like, I'm not the person I make believe I am. Ain Toichi Kivari, I'm not a Baruch Mordechai, I'm an Arhaman. And I'm stuck between the two worlds of Baruch Mordechai and Arhaman. That's Yom Kippur. Oh, but it's for the Seichel, Rabbi Yochum says. Purim is higher because it's Adaloya, that's without Seichel. And what's the test on Purim? That when you don't have your Seichel, are you going to be a mensch?
Or are you going to start insulting and singing disgusting things and talking like an idiot on Purim and rolling in the floor like a goy on Purim that's drunk? That's what Yochum said. Why is that the Malchus? So Yochum says, because now we're able to see if it's Toichi Kivari, if you're through and through a Baruch Mordechai, even when you're drunk and you have no seichel and you're not, you have no script and you're not making believe and you're not acting because you can't act. Your body is under the Malchus of the Rabbanu Shalom and it will refuse to insult someone. It will refuse to act like an idiot. It will refuse to throw away the Ol of Torah and of Mitzvahs just because you had something to drink. That's what Yochum said. Therefore the test is Purim. The test to see, did you really, really become part of the Malchus of Mitzias Ad Kidekach? That when the ruler, the Balabas, which is the Seichel, is away, the king is on vacation, the Seichel's away. The Seichel's on vacation on Purim. Seichel's not watching. The teacher's out of the room. You ever had such a thing? The teacher's out of the room. Can you believe it? And then, can you imagine if the kids are sitting in the class and then they see by the window the teacher's car with the principal and the assistant principal, they're all driving away. The kids will look at each other and they say, did you see that? And the kids say, I think that was the principal, the teacher, and the assistant principal. And they look at each other and they just start tearing the building apart. They don't know why, but they start pulling down lights and they start breaking windows. That was the principal, the assistant principal, and the teacher driving away. That means it's ois malchus. You understand? Malchus havekein. Finished with the malchus. There's no seichel anymore. Now we're just kids. Dimyon. Rabbi Sol says, another 5 minutes. Rabbi Sol says, the dimyon frees you. You're free. Yeah, look at that. The principal's gone. The assistant principal, the light, all the machshefim and all the machshefis, gone. There's no seichel in this building anymore. You know what that means, guys? It means dimyonis. And everybody pulls out his dimyon. Everybody's got dimyonis. Everybody's got dimyonis. And everybody pulls out his dimyonis. What's your dimyon? What's your dimyon? Everybody's got dimyonis. Hedemetzias is without boundaries, without limits. This one sits down, he takes out frantically. He really did have an iPod in his bag. He wasn't supposed to, but he did. Because he kept it there just in case the Malchus would somehow disappear. He kept in case there would be a possible assassination. He kept his iPod and his cell phone, and he wasn't allowed to, because if you get caught, you get thrown out of school, right? And the principal's going to take that. There's no principle. It means the seichel's avek. Seichel's avek. You take out the iPod and he starts going. Blah, 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 blah. He doesn't want to do because they might come back. The malchus might come back at any moment. The drink could wear off. You understand? You might be sober in a minute. So then you take out the machine and you do what you can. And then there's a guy that says, this is already high school, not from a little kids, this is 12th grade. The guy says, hold on, fellas. And all of a sudden you see from the girls' school down the block, the Meidlach come. Oh, the Meidlach. What happened? The girls are coming. They say, you're not going to believe it, fellas. Our principal went away in the car with your principal. So it's a free, the whole Malchus is gone by the boys' school, by the girls' school. It's unbelievable. This is a dream come true. There's no Malchus, there's no seichel. There's no one that tells us, don't do this, do this. But the parents might find out, no, all the parents got together with the principals. They went on a big boat and they went somewhere. There's no seichel anymore in the whole world. There's no seichel. No, they're in the other part of the world. All of seichel has moved. The whole seichel is gone. And the only thing that's here right now is what? Dimyonis, hedemetzias, einemetzias. You're free. So that's Purim. Purim is when the seichel goes on vacation. The seichel's on vacation. And the Rabbi Yochum says, you want to find out, who are you? You want to find ba'aymik in depth. You want to find out who you are. So Rabbi Yochum says, Yom Kippur is a very fine day. Oh, Yom Kippur. Like the Rapture just said, that's him. I told you many times in Shul, the Rapture said, no, not just 2 minutes. The Rapture said, Yom Kippur, in Yom Kippur, the Rapture used to say, Avada. He says, on Purim, the Jews dress like Goyim. And Yom Kippur, the Goyim dress like Jews. That's what he said. You understand the Oymik of it? He's saying that on Purim, Jews like to dress up like Goyim. And Yom Kippur, all the Goyim will all of a sudden put on a kippur. In other words, the people are not from the whole year. He didn't mean Mamma's Goyim. He said, but on Yom Kippur, the Goyim dress up like Jews, and in Purim, the Jews dress up like Goyim. So what happens? It comes to Yom Kippur, oh, then it's a big seichel.
The whole bus came back. Yom Kippur, everybody said, whoa, quiet. You're not going to believe it. Everybody starts doing this stuff. That's what happens Rosh Hashanah, right? Elul Rosh Hashanah. You hear the word when they bench Rosh Chodesh Elul. Rosh Chodesh Elul. Oh my goodness. Everybody starts putting away their Bibles and their iPods. And it comes to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and everybody starts putting away this tchotchke and this toy and this toy and this. Oh, stop doing. Everybody starts putting away all the dimyonis and all the things. Why? Because comes the Shem Kippur. Yom Kippur's big seichel's back. The bus came back. The principal's back. The teachers are back. Everybody's back. Guys, shh. Everything's back. They're all back. The parents are back. The principal's back. Everybody's back. The seichel has come home. So then everybody starts to go. Then everybody puts on their Yom Kippur suit. Everybody comes to shul, kol nidre, and comes Neil Hashem Elokim. Shabbat Yochum says that's not the real test. The real test is when the seichel is on vacation. Then you could find out who be'emes you are when the seichel is on vacation. Same thing Yochum says when you have a moment where you lose your temper. How do you act when you lose your temper? What kind of a Jew are you? When the seichel, because when you lose your temper, it's worse than getting drunk. Kedua. And the seichel's on vacation. The seichel goes away when a person loses something. Do you destroy a wife? Do you destroy a husband? Do you destroy the kid? But you just become a little bit ungeblues and upset, and you go to your room or something. It's a difference. Even when a person's angry. How do you act when the king is not watching you? That's what it is. How do you act when mommy and daddy are not looking at you? How do you act when the melech is not in the room? That's the test of a Jew. And there's no other day. There's no other day like Purim. When a person feels that the seichel has disappeared for a couple of hours, and it seems to be that everything goes. And if you're part of the Malchus of Hashem, the Tilbash Esther Malchus, the most beautiful, sweetest sentence on earth. Esther enclothed herself in royalty. The royalty of Esther was that even though it looked like Api Seichel, there's no hope. Seichel has disappeared. Mordechai the Tzaddik told me, and I'm going, when you rule over your eyes and your ears, when you rule over the limbs of your body, when there's an emes of malchus, when there's a real malchus, that's who you become. You become that way. That's who you are. You become such a person that lives in the boundaries of seichel, even when the seichel is not watching, because that's who you are, the emes, because you're meshubed to the melech malchim hamelochim, and you're a citizen in the Malchus of Metzius, in the Malchus of reality. And when a person is in that Malchus, Rabbi Yochum is saying, it gives you the most unbelievable Menucha. The most unbelievable tranquility on earth. How could that be? Rabbi Sosalanta says that Malchus imprisons you. We're being destroyed by the choices that we think we have, that we don't really have. But when a person knows his limitations, and he lives in the boundaries of his limitations, he has gewaltige menuch, this is who I am. He doesn't see every single toy as a possible thing for me. Every single vacation, he looks in the newspaper, I could be on that vacation. Every single aveira, I could be doing that aveira. No, you can't. It's a sense. You can't. It's not true. What do you mean? But my taiva tells me this. Just like your taiva tells you could smoke cigarettes for 50 years, nothing's going to happen. It's demyonis. It's demyonis. The emes malchus tells you the truth. Menuchas emes v'emuna. Menuchas hashkeit shav hashkeit v'avetach. Menuchas shleimus ataroitzei v'komz yakiru v'necha v'yeidu. V'yeidu is to know. How do you know that you really know? On the one day of the year, which is Ad Lo Yada. You know so much that even when you don't know, you still know. Even when you don't know, you still know. That's what it means to be a Jew. Even when you don't know how God could have done this to you, what you're going through. Even though you don't know how you could have lost Panos, you don't know how the person could have died, you don't know how the Holocaust happened, even though you don't know, you know that this is who I am and I will continue to be this way. A Tilbash Esther Malchus. And that is a Bechina of Ruach HaKadosh that gives a person Menucha Shleima Sha'atir Reitzer Bo. Because you're in that place, and that's who you are. And Bez Hashem will continue a little bit more with this Nakuda next week.